Do you have a little? You have a name for Little Manhattan Man? Do you know what I mean by that?
I don't think that the word little is appropriate.
He's got a schwanz like a French loaf.
You gotta ask Denali this question. He'll be all flummoxed and shit, at least.
Right. Nobody uses their penises more than Utonians.
Yes, but they do it in the privacy of their own bedrooms with their multiple wives. Baby, check this out. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Montezuma Max.
And this is episode 142 of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Today is Monday, June 7th, 2010. Manhattan Man is here in the booth.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And we asked him in because I have a couple of Manhattan Man issues to bring up. So and- I want to start off by providing an update.
Okay.
Going back a few episodes, we were talking about the BP oil leak into the Gulf.
Is there an oil leak in the Gulf?
Yeah, there is. Believe it or not.
The Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico, right? Right, just about a mile or so offshore.
Really?
Well, now it's right on shore. But I brought up the possibility of nuking the oil.
Yes,
well.
You did. Oh, don't let me get out of here without bringing up something else that you brought up. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, Daniel Foster in last Wednesday's National Review,
yeah,
agrees.
Who the hell is Daniel Foster, and why should we care?
Because he writes for the National Review, I guess. I don't know.
Because the chances of Max or the Penguin or Manhattan Man being published in the National Review are slim to none, all right? So we don't really care who he is. It's the forum.
All right. It's the National Review, but it's where William F. Buckley wrote.
That's – well, there. I mean,
it's
right
the magazine
there.
That he started, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, in the article he says that the burial depth-to-yield ratio – will make it possible to trap virtually all of the radioactive fallout within the bedrock. And he said that Russia did it 5 times with gas oil leaks successfully.
He poses
the question, which is worse? You know, these ribbons of tar washing up on the shore for the next perhaps 20 years or trying to seal off the leak? I don't know.
Well, first of all, ribbons of tar is generous. How about slicks of gunk?
Slicks of gunk?
I think you guys know that my job is problem resolution. And there's some fundamental thoughts that you can band-aid the problem. And I saw a funny thing on MSN today about, you want to kill the ducks or do you want to clean the ducks, okay, the wildlife, right?
Right.
And we can band-aid this thing, right? The bottom line is we still have a fundamental problem where there's tens of thousands of gallons of oil and natural gas leaking, spewing, coming into the Gulf, okay? I mean, and let's address the problem at its core, shall we?
Uh-huh.
Do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what we got to do.
Well, listen, now that you brought that up, that leads right into my first Manhattan Man question, okay? And here's the question for you. Do you have a little name for Little Manhattan Man? Do you know what I mean by that?
I don't think that the word little is appropriate. whether it's January or whatever, Sparky exists. Can we say that?
Sparky is real.
I like that. Well, there was an article last week, and 2 weeks ago was Sex in the City week because it was the release of the second film.
Right.
Happened. And they did an article about nicknames for private parts.
Right.
And they basically said that it seems like just about everybody does it, but they divided it into three different categories. The first category were the clinical names, as in penis or vagina.
Those would be the clinical names.
It's kind of limited, right?
Pretty
much.
Do
you really need to go out and explain that one?
Well, they give more examples. If you want me to talk about them too? they just weren't as funny as the rest were.
Hey, I still like that one from Mad Magazine. It's so hard to be named after a part of the body. Signed, Urethra Franklin.
The second kind of names are the bawdy names.
Yeah.
Okay. Lewd and cheeky, things like tube steak, third leg, jackhammer, schlong, one-eyed trouser, snake. And then there's the prude.
And my old roommate's favorite, at least my favorite of his old sayings, he's got a schwanz like a French loaf.
And then there's the prudish names, which are basically euphemisms.
Uh-huh.
Maybe names like wee-wee, body locations like down there, names like Little Bill or Little Manhattan Man, or Sparky, I guess.
Or Wonder Boy.
Right.
you know what you got to do? You got to ask Denali this question. He'll be all flummoxed and shit, at least. That's great. He'll pretend to be like, oh, I don't know. Huh. Oh, that'll be great.
Maybe we can make that a regular feature of the show.
Name your privates.
Who the hell needs Mark Twain's philosophy? It's kind of screaming audience. This week, what do you call it?
This week on Name Your Privates.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, you were saying.
Well, no, all I was saying was that they had those three different kinds, and basically it seemed as if they were saying that statistically it's pretty evenly divided as to what people or how people refer to their private parts. About one-third use the clinical name, about one-third have bawdy or out there, and about one-third have sort of demure or
cutesy names.
Right, can I jump in here since this is directed at me, right? This is directed at me?
Yeah,
well, it was a question for you. It wasn't directed at you.
You didn't ask me what my
I just wanted to say, Little Mr. Manhattan Man.
Little Manhattan
Man. He calls it Staten Island.
The Bronx.
It's great. Oh, it's better than Painted Post, motherfucker. But seriously, here's the thing. I was asked this question in an intimate moment in reference to my partner, and she said, well, what do you call it? And I'm telling you, that'll make guys, at least me, kind of worried. I don't know. I mean, do you really want me to tell you now what I call it? It's not the time to unleash poontang. It's not good. It doesn't work. It's not. That's funny, man. What are you gonna?
My spewing volcano of love.
The one I liked in high school was one-eyed wonder worm. I really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of one-eyed wonder worms. I do have the other thing that I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if either one of you guys heard about this, but this one, I've been laughing about this one all day. Now, here we go. We're going to run out to the University of Utah.
All right. Okay? Hang on 1 second.
Is he actually running out there?
I think he's back.
Either that,
or he's unleashing the one-eyed wonder worm, one or the other.
I'm sorry. I apologize. The cat was just all in the wires of the computer.
I knew it.
With tail up and wrapping wires.
I knew it was feline. I fucking knew it.
So here we go. So at the University of Utah, the journalism majors, the seniors, every year in the last issue of the newspaper – print a farewell column, each one of the senior editors. Well, this year there were five senior editors. Okay? And so across the page, you have five columns and the pictures of the five individuals with their names. And then they start their last comments. Right. And each one starts with a drop cap. Now, you know what that is, right?
I do not.
Okay, drop cap is the first letter is very, very large. It usually covers two or three lines.
Okay.
But it stands out. It's a common
right.
newspaper slash magazine
format.
Okay,
right.
so each of the five starts their little goodbyes. And the first one's letter is P. And the second one letter is E.
E.
And the third one is N. The fourth one is I. And the fifth one is S. So, farewell.
Are these all male humans?
Chronicle senior staff, penis is the word that's come across. Well, as you might imagine, out there at the University of Utah,
yeah,
they were quite upset with a naughty word making it into the newspaper.
You know.
And the dean of students tried to prevent the five of them from graduating.
Oh, jeez.
Are you kidding me?
No,
I'm
not. Are
you kidding me?
And the only reason that the students were cleared was because school officials were swayed by a letter from Adam Goldstein, who's the attorney advocate for the Student Press Law Center, who said, you guys are messing with the students' First Amendment rights, and they changed their mind and let it go without anything more to say about it.
Well, they could have spelled out snipe, I suppose. But we're talking about Utah.
Right.
Nobody uses their penises more than Utonians.
Yes, but they do it in the privacy of their own bedrooms with their multiple wives.
That's right. I don't know. I'm finding it difficult. I'm having a difficult time feeling at all sympathetic.
Oh, I'm not sympathetic at all, but like I said, I laughed all day. The funniest line in the whole thing was that if the whole school is disrupted by the use of a quote-unquote bad word, then an episode of South Park would put them in a coma.
Oh, yeah. Well, it probably did when they did a South Park on the history of Mormonism.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, absolutely. I get a little prickly. No pun intended. When I hear people, puritanical people, being self-righteous about words like penis.
Here's my problem, and this is going to sound stupid from one end to the other, but here you go. Church and state, right?
Mm-hmm.
We honor the slain comrade. We just got past Memorial Day and everything like that, and we think about things like one nation under God, right? And
right.
Unfortunately, we have to come to some point of acceptance of lots of different gods. Your God is not my God. My God is way fucking different than the Penguin's God. I'm telling you. And the Utah God, okay? And
the Angel Moroni.
I don't know. You know that bumper sticker, Coexist? I like that thing. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's smoking. That stuff is all right. And but the ultimate morality to me, the morality shouldn't really have anything to do with whether I'm in a mosque or I'm in a church, or I'm kneeling in a pew, or Mother Mary, or a Roman Pope, or whatever.
Right.
The ultimate morality is, can we be okay? Can we be decent to one another? Because I don't think there's a faith out there that wouldn't get into Manhattanism. can we be decent to one another?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think I read all I needed to read on the ruler in grammar school. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that
called that shit golden, you know?
Right. I'm thinking it was golden. If you wouldn't like this to happen to you, don't do it to somebody else. It really works. I'm so tired of religious people, you know, inflicting their morality, particularly if they're being hypocritical about it. I think there's a lot of religion that and religious that acts very morally and wonderfully and brave and unselfishly. But
I take a lot of crap for having a potty mouth. You know what I mean?
I'm shocked.
No. But it's not – but there's nothing malicious. There's no vendetta. There's nothing against anybody.
Right, right.
With the simple exception of Kevin fucking Euclid, okay? But and I can't help myself there. I can't – No, everybody has an issue. So. But
you know, you used a word earlier that I heard from a wise lady that I once knew, who said, and she was talking about treatment of gays in this country, and she said, I don't have the quote exactly, but she was talking about the use of the word tolerance, and she said, I would like to see that be moved up to acceptance. I mean, tolerance is okay. We can if we can just not kill each other, we can tolerate each other. But how about saying, you know, I'm okay with Denali.
Isn't that what I did it? I had no money when I was 19, and I mean no money. And I did a catheter test for money. Now, if that's not whoring yourself out, I don't know. You know, and the guy did his thing, the doctor, and he said, "Can you tolerate that?" And it's like, I can tolerate that. I can tolerate that. I'm a tough guy, man. Boy. You know, but I mean, do I accept it? Fuck no. There's a big difference between move it up from tolerate to accept. I like it. I like it. We take the accept road.
That's how about right. That? Yeah, we take the accept road. All right, piggybacking off of this, and this is something I had planned for the end, but as long as we're talking about religion, and I haven't looked at these in a while, but I got three things on religion that maybe fit right here. James Fall, 58, told police in Mound, Minnesota in March that his marriage to his 10-year-old niece was perfectly acceptable in that he is a prophet of God, citing Corinthians 6:12.
Wow.
But whether he's a prophet or not,
10 years
old.
The
fact that the man can tell the future, he ought to be able to tell the future enough to say, "You're gonna fuck up your 10-year-old niece." What do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're gonna get fucked up yourself when you're in fucking jail.
That doesn't make man. The fact that your God doesn't allow you to do human things differently, right?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
No. Terry Dalton, 43, who refers to himself as the Holy Ghost, moved his small congregation to Fromberg, Montana in March as the latest stop in avoiding law enforcement investigations in guess where? Utah.
I knew it.
And Idaho. He credits his holiness to his collection of rocks, several of which...
He's got some set of rocks.
Several of which he said are powerful seer stones. All right. Adam.
Powerful semen stone? Is that
He's got a set of rocks on him you wouldn't believe.
Right.
Adam DeSaboto, who said he is the Messiah, was arrested in Pittsburgh in April after he drove his car into the Poale Zedek Synagogue, causing about $30,000 in damages. I'm not crazy. I don't hear voices. I just got a feeling sent by God to drive real fast for some reason.
I like this guy.
every day.
I'm going to short sell about 3 tons of soybeans tomorrow and say, God told me. I
God
love
said
it.
Don't do it.
Speaking of God complex, did you see that article recently about that psychologist who did the study where he put two people who were multiple personalities, both believed that they were Jesus together?
Three, Max. Max, you have to read this. This is on Slate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
oh, it's great. It's Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. And it's really, I mean, you have to work on getting through the whole article. But it's really good. Wow. Because one guy goes, he's saying the same crazy shit I am. He goes,
at one
wait
point,
a minute,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I, you know, really, because they took three guys. This is almost, like, mean. Because there's three guys. I said, no, I'm Jesus Christ. And they put them all in a room together and said, well, why don't you guys duke it out? And there's a discussion in there in the middle of the argument about people who have a disturbance,
right,
which allegedly they're dead. They say they're dead.
Wow.
Which is, I really want to get in a room with one of these people. I really do. You dead? All right, I'm gone. I'm out. I'm out. See, no, it was like, write me a check for $300 on your dead account in your dead bank, and I'm done. It'll take me about 8 seconds. I'm dead. What that? Sickness. Holy crap. I'm dead. But there were three guys who they were all Jesus, and the doctors put them in a room together and said, go ahead, duke it out.
Shock therapy, huh?
I guess. Speaking of hypocrites, like you were before, Max,
yeah,
you guys noticed over the weekend our good buddy and espouser of traditional family values, Rush Limbaugh, got married for the fourth time?
He did.
Just in case you missed that.
I don't keep up with my Rush Limbaugh news stories.
Penguin, he married a woman.
I know. Again. 26 years younger than him.
What? Who are you kidding here? I'd say that she was a pharmacist who dispenses back pain medication. Just saying.
Listen.
And I did have one other question for you guys. Do you guys know where, well, Max, you should know this for sure, where Chittenango, New York is?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Do you know that every year they have a film festival this past weekend?
I heard something on the radio just today.
Yes. It fits our definition. You know how you and I always have these discussions about whether something is irony or poetic justice?
Uh-huh.
Well, Chittenango every year has what they call the Oztravaganza.
Right.
Okay, it's a weekend event that celebrates the Wizard of Oz, including the playing of the film.
Because.
And a contest and foods and Emerald City Idol finals and all kinds of stuff like that. And it had to be canceled this year because of a threat of a tornado.
Yeah, we had a storm through here yesterday.
Yes, which I believe might fit our definition of irony, don't you think? Incongruity between the actual result of a sequence of events and the normal or expected result.
Uh-huh.
Well done, Penguin. he is fabulous. Is he not?
He is fabulous. And just for the record, Chittenango is the home of L. Frank Baum.
Who is that?
Well, Frank Baum, who wrote.
Who
was
wrote.
It? Oh, who wrote it. Okay.
Yeah, and can I just throw this in there from the Manhattan Files here? Are you guys aware of The Dark Side of the Rainbow?
Maybe.
Why have I heard that before and I don't know what it is?
All right, well just you put on the DVD.
Oh, yes, yeah.
VHS, Betamax, whatever, of Wizard of Oz, and you line up the lion roar from the MGM studios.
Right.
You line up the lion roar with the very first notes of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, and you turn off the sound on the movie and turn up the sound on the Floyd record, and it will bug
Not
you
exactly.
out how those two fit together. And you don't need hallucinogens.
All right.
Should that be to your liking? You know.
Frying Laban.
But that's intense. It's Dark Side of the Rainbow. It's amazing how, like, the flying monkeys take off and whatever. Anyway.
It sounds great. I've never done it, but it does sound interesting. I like to turn off the sound on football games sometimes and turn on music. Another record that that's very kind of mysterious and melodic that way. At least one song is Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding from Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, ironically enough.
Sir Elton John.
Oh, yes. Excuse
me. Sir Elton. I believe you can find on YouTube a video of The Dark Side of Oz.
Of the Rainbow, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because I think I've seen it there and watched at least a good part of it. Because somebody else also did that one of David Attenborough's, Attenborough's?
Yeah.
PBS Nature Specials. Yeah, they did it with that also, and it also matched up real well with that. So that was pretty interesting.
Just generally, I think good, moody, instrumental music fits kind of a lot of visual entertainment.
Well, I got one more quickie here.
Yeah.
The Fergus Falls Daily Journal, Minnesota.
Fergus
Isn't that a great
Falls.
Name? The Fergus Falls
Absolutely.
Daily Journal. It reported that a car thief ended up with a headache, no car, and very, very embarrassed in what was a short time on the lam last Saturday. Okay? Basically, this guy's walking around in the neighborhood, and he sees an Audi 5000 Quattro in a driveway. And he looks inside, and the keys are in the car. So he hops in, starts it up, and takes off down the neighborhood. Unfortunately, the owner of the car had removed the car's master cylinder on the brakes in order to fix the brakes.
Wow.
And so he drove a short way down the road, went to stop, and couldn't, at which point he ran into a tree.
Oof.
He was sent to the hospital and
lived happily ever after.
Have given him formal charges. Yeah,
because he stole a freaking car. I have
this car. I just love the name, the Fergus Falls Daily Journal of Minnesota.
Fergus Falls.
Fergus. It sounds a bit Scottish. All right, so my Scottish accent isn't that great. I have weird things. I have five weird things.
Well, let them run then, because our time is getting to the end.
Porcupines float on water. 1 gallon of used motor oil can ruin approximately 1 million gallons of fresh water. This is according to strangefacts.com. I don't know if that's true or not. That sounds, what do you mean by ruin?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. The world's termites outweigh the world's humans 10 to 1.
Clearly.
Windmills always turn counterclockwise. Except for the windmills in Ireland. And
fucking weird way. Fact.
Isn't that a weird
Ask
fact?
Joshua. Can we have Joshua on?
I wonder if he would know that. One more. 1 in every 4 Americans has appeared on television.
Are you kidding me? There's 300 million people. No, what? No. No, no way.
Have you appeared on television?
Yes.
Have you appeared on television, Penguin?
No, I can honestly say that I have not.
I have.
That's 2 out of 3 Americans right there.
There you go.
No, I don't like it. I would like to make a statement for the listeners of the podcast, the record. I would like to congratulate and extend my plaudits and applause to T-Fab Peter Fabulous Penguin for his work on our graphic. I'm pleased and excited to have a representation, regardless of how symbolic it might be.
You have to check out the picture of Max and Manhattan Man.
Jump to your local website and check that shit out. That is all right.
Good job, Penguin. We like it.
My favorite part of doing that was the fact, and it's hard to notice, but the fact that Max is shorter than both Manhattan Man and myself. I thought that was the best part.
Do we really want to get into a discussion of dimension here? I mean, we started off talking about penises now.
That's right. We began with Little
Manhattan.
I'm going to end
with Little Max. And we're ending with Little Max.
Something about
I'm talking Boy Wonder here. You never asked me, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I would say this. There's a reason why the guy is recognized as fucking Montezuma. Okay, ladies? Let me just put it that way.
There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the
shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, the bird of friendliness, like Argon angels, it's always near. You can hear in the other but the light switch. Who watches over you?
I think that's a good part to end it, right?
Yeah,
there.
I think that's a good part to end it on. Right? That was a strange show. That was a very weird show, I think.
I don't know how much of that is usable, but that was really fun. That was
like crazy. I said, my all I wanted to do, that my goal today was to say Little Manhattan Man.
Don't you dare. That's really funny. Good job, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, it'll be all right. I think it'll come out well in production. Newer.
I don't have to edit that shit.
I think I'm beginning to get a feel for it. When I first started doing it, and Penguin, you can probably relate to this, I was cutting out too much of the dead air. Sometimes you have to let a comment breathe. Particularly, I found with Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, I think, more than any of the other characters. I always thought that everything else that we did could have the break shortened a little bit.
Right.
But I never touched the Twain one.
Right.
I just felt like that more than anything else, he needs to breathe.
He needs to breathe. Yeah, absolutely.
Some air there.
Yep.
I agree.
We got to do another Denali episode, Max.
Well, we got to ask Denali what his nickname is.
We'll have to have more to the show than that. But you realize, not only did we not do the Preakness Stakes and the Belmont, I personally missed betting on both of them this year for the first time in I can't remember how long.
I bet on both. And on Saturday, I have Fly Down and whoever
Icebox?
No, and not Icebox. I have Fly Down and something dude. Right?
First dude.
The third finisher. Even though there is a tangential connection to Sarah Palin.
Right,
because I don't care. This is my money, right?
Keep the government hands off my horse race.
I have Fly Down and First Dude. Right?
Right.
And I have First Dude, first and second, win in place, right?
Right.
And I have Fly Down and First Dude in an exacta box with Icebox.
Uh-huh.
However, I text Megan at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and go, there's a horse in the Belmont called Drosselmeyer. Because Drosselmeyer is named for a character in The Nutcracker, which my daughter has danced in for 10 fucking years. And do I play it? Do I play it for a dime? Do I play it for a dollar? Do I put it in the exactas? No. And who wins the fucking Belmont? Oh, and she responds by text message, win! Exclamation point. Am I a fucking idiot?
I missed the connection with the ballet.
Yeah.
There was a funny twit this past weekend. Right after the race, and I don't remember which sports writer it was that wrote on his Twitter, I had the winner, and somebody wrote back, really? And he said, yeah, he finished in fifth place.
Yeah.
I had Icebox in an exacta in the Derby. I just liked it. But that's as close as I got to even paying attention.
Let's have Denali on right before the Breeders' Cup, because that will be right before Dan's wedding.
Dan.
So we ought to Trabucci.
Trabucci, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Is that in October, September? I forget which.
It's 10-2-10.
Okay.
And believe it or not, the following day is the New York Jets, and it will be the first Buffalo Bills home game that I will have missed in 10 years.
Wow.
Because of working the,
right.
the game.
Right. Yeah. So the people say the Jets are going to win the whole deal this year.
So let's do some Breeders' Cup Denali podcasting.
Well, yeah, but that's October. We gotta have
Pat. I can't make the picture fit a page.
Picture of what?
The graphic of the. I cannot make it print on one page.
Oh, yeah.
Copied it to Word and changed it to landscape and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you got to change it to landscape and, well, then you have to go into the printer settings and print like a percentage.
I'll call Mead West Vaco support desk.
I actually figured out how to make it fit on the page on my Mac.
Oh, well.
That
makes sense because the Mac is built for your graphical representational shit.
Yeah, there's a preview panel, and you just look and see whether or not it's going to go off the edge of the page.
I have print preview. It just looks – it's just print preview. You want to print this shit, asshole?
But it'll show you where it's falling off the page.
But I can't – well, I have yet to be able to make it work.
I just love Mark Twain in that picture.
And Mark Twain was the most difficult. That's the one that Dylan really – I mean, I only did about – I did more than 95% of every other character, but Dylan did probably two-thirds of the Mark Twain because we had so much trouble with his hair. We could get him to be decent-looking with the white suit and stuff, but the hair was just a bear. It really, really was.
I just like the fact that he's so pissed off. Like, Manhattan Man's got a sign that says, go fuck yourself. But Mark Twain is still angrier than that.
Well, you know, it's funny. The whole thing about him, a pen warmed up in hell and stuff. And I'm going to urge you both to read If I Never Get Back, Darryl Brock. Just an outstanding book. And Twain is in there. And really, really good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I gotta go watch Arizona.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Thank you both again for letting me have some free reign. That was fun tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing.
Thanks for feeding me good stuff, Penguin. That was
feeding the beast.
Sparky's gonna be just all over that. Thanks.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
All right, guys. Good night. Have a good one.
See ya.
Hey, gentlemen.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.